Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Saints Peter and Paul, pray for us. Please be seated. Venerable sisters, dear parishioners, we are currently in the Chair of Unity octave. And this is a week of recommended intense prayer for the conversion of non-Catholics to the faith. And we are going to hear these words prayed as part of the devotion after Mass. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Hearing those words, one may say, well, why aren't you following Peter today as he seems to be there in Rome? It's pretty obvious we as traditional Catholics are not part of the modern church, modern Catholic Church. And there seems to be a difficulty here. How can we say these words? How can we affirm our faith in the papacy that Jesus Christ founded to last until the end of time? And at the same time, we're not following the man who calls himself Pope in Rome today. I will attempt to answer that question and to give you information to help you to be able to explain it to others why this is so. And one thing we'll have to recognize is we are in a storm. These are not normal times where we could all just easily point to Rome and say, whatever's being done there, that's what we do. We're Catholics. We're Roman Catholics. An article I came across actually some years ago, and I've reread it recently. It was published by Father Donald Sanborn, now Bishop Donald Sanborn. He published it in 1992. And the title of this article is very incisive. Faith or apostolic authority, which comes first? In other words, what's more important? Is faith the most important thing, or is authority the most important thing? Which do we follow in case of a clash? And he explains very, very well that it is the faith that is absolutely prior to anything else. The true Church of Christ is an infallible guide. It cannot lead us astray. It cannot give us false doctrine. If it did, it could not be the true Church of Christ. I think that's logical enough, simple enough. I think most people would acknowledge that. And as Bishop Sanborn points out in this article, the true Church of Christ cannot give us contradictory teaching. If it gave contradictory teaching, it would thereby be giving false teaching. Either it was right the first time or it's right the second time, but it can't be right both times. Now just let me give you a practical example about contradiction. What if I said to you, one Sunday, this pulpit is made out of wood? And in fact, it is. I think you can see that. And next Sunday, I said, this pulpit is made out of marble. And then I said, you must believe both. What would you think of me? you would have to say, you would have to vehemently reject what I just said, that you have to believe that this is both marble and wood at the same time. And you say, but that cannot be. It's a contradiction that you've just told me. Either it's made out of wood or it's made out of marble, but it can't be both. You see, the human mind is not capable of thinking in terms of contradiction. In English language, we call that oxymoron or an absurdity, where you affirm and deny something at the same time. The mind can't accept that. Well, if the mind can't accept contradiction, even more so, the true Church of Christ cannot give us contradictory teachings. I want to give you just three examples from Vatican Council II, where we see side-by-side contradiction. And this goes back to the early 60s, my dear brethren. It's sad to realize this, how long this has been going on and how many have been led astray. But facts are facts. Religious liberty. Before Vatican II, the Catholic Church taught that we do not have the right to choose whatever religion we so please. We have to accept the religion that God has revealed. And Vatican II nearly word for word has said, man is free to choose whatever religion he so desires or believes he should choose. Which is right. There's a contradiction here. Another example. Before Vatican II, the Catholic Church taught that you have to not only be baptized, but believe all that Christ teaches to be part of His church. At Vatican II, it was taught that, no, you don't have to believe everything that Christ taught to be part of the church. There's now degrees of membership. And therefore, all the Protestants, they're now our brethren. They're more or less part of the church, which is actually a philosophical contradiction, but I'll let that alone. So we see a contradiction there about what does it mean to be a member of the Church of Christ? And this is divinely revealed. Another example, we were taught before Vatican II that it's sinful for us to worship together with non-Catholics, because if we did, we would basically be saying, your religion is as good as mine. Can't we just get along and worship God together? Vatican II says, you can now do this. So in three areas, religious liberty, the unity of the Catholic Church, and ecumenism, we see basically word-for-word contradiction. Now, going back to the pulpit, were you able to accept the fact that it is and it isn't wood, it is or isn't made out of marble at the same time? You can't accept that. You can't, the mind cannot grasp that. It rejects it as a falsehood. Well, in the true Church of Christ, we cannot be asked to believe contradictory beliefs. And this is why, my dear brethren, you're sitting in these pews today. Because the act of faith that you made in Jesus Christ and in His church logically led you to say, I cannot accept contradictory doctrine. And not only that, my act of faith that I make in Jesus Christ and His church will not allow me to accept the modern liturgies, which are so offensive to God. The modern mass, and it's not just the abuses, it's the very essence of it as defined in a Protestant and modernist way. If I accept it, I'm going to lose my faith. So this is the crux of the matter. This is what it's all about. It is because of our faith that we are here today. we know the church cannot give us false doctrine or contradict herself. So if there is a contradiction, we're going to have to say that can't be the true church of Christ. We have to stick with what the church taught before. Because the truth doesn't change with the times. We hold to the same exact teachings that Jesus Christ gave at his time. There's no evolution of dogma. There's no new understanding of doctrine in a way that it contradicts what was previously defined. You see, that's our rock. That's our anchor. That's something we can hold on to and grasp. Not what will doctrine be like 50 years from now? What will it be 100 years from now? Of course, we won't be alive. But we know we're on solid ground. What is impossible is for the church to contradict herself, but what is not impossible is for church leaders, and this means pope and bishops, to lose the faith. That's not impossible. And theologians talk about that. So that's the explanation. There cannot be contradiction in church teaching, but yes, popes and bishops, priests, laity, they can lose the faith. It's happened many times in history. There's an interesting quote, as Bishop Sanborn points out in his article. He quotes St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. He says, if an angel from heaven, well, actually starts off by saying, if I, or an angel from heaven give you any other doctrine than the one that has been revealed to you, you must say anathema. I know I'm paraphrasing it. So what St. Paul is saying implicitly there is, if I ever change this doctrine, you need to say anathema to me. If an angel comes down from heaven and preaches a different doctrine than revealed by Jesus Christ, you say anathema to that angel. Of course, an angel wouldn't do that. But it's right there in Galatians, I believe in the first chapter. I recommend you look that up. So, are we living in difficult times? Yes. But my dear brethren, let your faith carry you. It's carried you thus far. It's kept you faithful as a Catholic. And we have to believe in the power of God. Our Lord has obviously let his church go through triumphs and trials. Just look at the history of the church. One book I would recommend is Tumultuous Times, co-written by Fathers Dominic and Francisco Radecki. And you'll see the history of the church is up and down, up and down, up and down. But it's going to last till the end of time. The papacy will last until the end of time, even though there's not always somebody on the throne. The office is there. We have the intact faith. So do we have a very tall order during this chair of unity octave? Yes, we do. It's not impossible for people to find the faith, even in difficult circumstances. You know, one thing that keeps coming back to me is Father Alexander Krissoff. He found out about us on the internet. And he saw that we were holding to traditional Catholic teaching. He could recognize the modern church is teaching falsehoods. It can't be the true church of Christ. And I go back to the miracle of the day when a Russian was ordained a priest in this sanctuary. As I said at my sermon, at Father Krzysztof's first solemn mass, if you had told me 20 years ago this would have happened, I would have never believed you. But that's my own lack of faith, you see. God can do, not contradictions, but he can do what seems to be impossible. He will make his church survive, even though it's going through difficult times. Father Michael Oswalt, he found out about us on the internet too, and actually was going to join up with other traditional clergy. He chose to join up with us. So it can be difficult to find the truth, but it's not impossible. Didn't our Lord say, "Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and you shall receive." Today, the centurion is saying in the gospel, when Jesus says, "I'll come and heal your son," Lord, you don't even need to do that. Just say the word. Amen, amen, I say unto you, I have not seen such faith in Israel. That was the faith that Jesus came to see in, from every person. Not too many people gave it to him, but that's what Jesus seeks and requires of us. Let us be like the centurion today. We're going to be saying those words, at least as we follow along in the Mass. Lord, I am not worthy. Domine, non sum dignus. It's an act of faith, recognizing we are poor sinners. But we believe in Jesus. We believe in his power. We believe in his holy church. We believe that he's given us his holy mother Mary to be our mother and our special guide through difficult times. Faith is such a powerful thing. So let our faith keep us strong. And as we hear those words, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Let's remember, this church cannot fail. We need only believe. Keep growing in our faith. Ask Blessed Mother to help you. St. Louis de Montfort says in his book, True Devotion to Mary, if we practice this total giving of ourselves to Jesus through Mary, she will allow us to share in her faith. And just imagine the faith Our Lady had to have when the angel appears to her and says, "You're going to be God's mother." And she didn't say to the angel, "That's impossible, that can't happen." No, "How will this be done?" She didn't know how, but she knew it would because God was revealing it. And then the angel said, explained to her. And then the faith that Our Lady needed during 30 years of hidden life. And then the faith Our Lady had exercised in the public ministry of her son. He was accepted by many, but rejected and reviled by many as well, especially by the powers that be at the time. And then imagine the faith that she needed to have when she saw Jesus dying on the cross and cooperated in our redemption. So she will give us a share in her faith if we draw ever closer to her and ask her to help us be strong and fervent in our holy Catholic Roman faith. The Catholic faith that is traditional, that cannot change. They cannot err. They cannot contradict itself. Our spiritual rock, our anchor, our foundation. May we all grow in our holy Catholic faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.